This past week was the teen camp, and we had some from our church to go. Bryce, you went, right? You stand, Bryce? And Sylvia, anyone else? Would you two like to come up and share just for a moment what you enjoyed about camp? Because we'd like to hear, right? Amen? Amen. Okay. These are two excellent speakers, so I know we're going to hear a lot about some good stuff, right, Bryce? Oh, sure, he said. All right. You want to let Lady go first? All right.
About teen camp, my favorite part about it was the fact that everybody there just participated in everything, and you could feel from the first day you came to the last day you came how much God had changed everybody that was there. And it really made me feel great about everything, and it made me so happy.
Okay. Good job. Good job.
My favorite thing was the speakers.
Speakers? All right. All right. Good job. We like to hear that, you know. The speakers. Mitch Harrell is a part of that. I think he's one of the camp deans, and they do a partnership with this other person. So, and this is grade 7 through 12. So we have some other camps coming up all the way through summer. So it's always good to hear from our children, right? How they enjoy camp. A great place to be. Well, okay, turn with me to Acts chapter 13 and also Matthew chapter 26. We'll be looking at these two books, chapter 13, 1 through 3, and then Matthew 25, 35, 36. Actually, it's 31 through 46, but these two are the real emphasis of Matthew in a few minutes. So I'm going to read Acts chapter 13, 1 through 3. First of all, in a few minutes, I'll read some from Matthew. So follow along with me. This is actually Paul's first missionary journey. And he went on many journeys. And I want to tie this together with the one hour great sharing. And we have World Mission Offering. We have American for Christ. This is one great hour of sharing. And then we have the retired ministers and missionaries. So those are the four mission offerings that we support through the American Baptist of Churches. And we do that periodically throughout the year. So this month is one great hour of sharing. Now there was at Antioch in the church that was there, prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, and who was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, you don't hear much about that word anymore, do you? Fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have what? Called." See, there is a calling that God provides in our lives. Then, when they had fasted and prayed. You see, those two go hand in hand, fasting and praying. And in order to see God work in your life, in the life of the church, these two are very important. So when they had been fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Now, in 1983, a movie was released called The Right Stuff. Anybody know what The Right Stuff is? 1983, can you go back that far? That's a ways back, isn't it? But to give you more information on it, that was a documentary of the United States space program. And after years of testing and sending animals into space, it came time for the first manned flight into space. And on May the 5th, 1961, Alan Shepard climbed inside that little capsule attached to a rocket. He was on the launching pad. The countdown began, and the entire future of our space program rested upon the launch being successful. It was a momentous few minutes in America, and since that day, the United States has dominated the race for space, and through many ups and downs, mankind has gone mostly up, accomplishing many great things throughout our solar system. So, I thought that was kind of a good illustration of a launching pad for this church here, Antioch, in Acts chapter 13, as I just read, the church is on the launching pad, the gospel is on the move, Foreign Missions gets the birth here. This is where the missions birth started because, as I stated a while ago, this was Paul's first mission trip. And what started in the hearts of a few people is about to send far reaching into the globe all over the world. And that's what the Lord wanted, isn't it? Is that what the Lord wanted? For the Great Commission to be carried, the gospel, throughout the world, beginning there in Jerusalem. And I'll share more about Jerusalem and now Antioch and how God moved throughout the centuries. So on board, on a broad outlook or of outline of this book, Acts, would be chapters 1 through 7 is the gospel fills the city of Jerusalem. That's where the focus was, okay? We talk about missions and so forth, but since we're doing the 1 hour greater sharing, and this is the month, I want to bring our focus upon our responsibility as a church in our giving and our support. And let me tell you, Versailles is one of the most giving churches in our region to missions because we get 14%, right? And our support of that. But these four other missions that we give, we still need to give to that as well because not only is the One Great Hour sharing near, but it's abroad. It covers a vast area of support for those in need. Now, the gospel fills the city of Jerusalem. In chapters 8 through 12, Judea and Samaria is a focus. And then beginning with chapter 13 is where Paul kicks off his first missionary journey. And throughout the latter books of Acts, we see it spreads into the uttermost parts of the world. Now, on this textbook, the Bible here I'm talking about, it's our example. We have a mandate as Church of God to get the gospel out and help those in need. And it's why we have the mission program. God wants Christians to be involved in missions. And let me say that again. God wants the church to be involved in the mission. You know what? That's what Baptist is all about, right? We're not Protestants because we were before that movement. And therefore, we were established on missions. That's why a lot of churches in the early days was called Mission Baptist Church. And not many churches called that unless they are still carry that name. Some have switched over the years and removed mission from their title. So you can pray, you can give, and we can go as well. And we ought to do that, all three of those things. That is our responsibility. Now, looking at Acts chapter 13, it lays before us a simple plan of how to get the job done. And Paul, I tell you what, it was ingrounded in his heart and in his mind. The Bible says God called them, and he calls us as well. And Matthew chapter 25, 35 through 36 shows us the church in action. And I'll read that in a few minutes. But let us look at how they did this. God's way, the gospel on the launching pad. So first of all, Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says that, but you were received power and the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my what? Witnesses, both in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and in the uttermost parts of the world. Now, let's look at the four elements that Acts here presents. First of all, it's the church of God. In verse 1, it says it's in the church. That's where mission is supposed to begin, in the church. Not through the UN or the Red Cross or otherwise other organizations. Mission starts in the church, though we should be thankful for any of the good work that many of these organizations do. Now, mission should begin in the local church. As I said, it was the church that confirmed the calling of who? Who are the two that we mentioned? Barnabas and Saul. The Bible said they were called. They were commissioned. They were set apart. And that's something to think about. When you are set apart, a church sets someone apart, whether you be a missionary or becoming a pastor or some church leader, most times you lay hands on them, you pray over them, and that the Bible says you are being set apart for a special commission, a special mission. Now, within the first few words, the mission handbook, and I'm saying mission handbook. I call Acts the mission handbook, chapter 13, and we find that it begins in the church. There's that word again, in the church. And in verse 2, whom did God tell to separate and send out? Who did he give that responsibility to? He gave the church. He gave the church that responsibility. So they set Paul and Barnabas aside, and they sent them. In verse 3, who did this? The church. In verse 3, again, says the church was responsible. So notice where the church was located. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it said Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts. Now, it's been shifted to Antioch, not Jerusalem. Why? You ever question that? And that's why it's so important to understand how God moves in our lives, how God moves in the church. And if we got a heart on, our mind on, open to receive God's calling, when he does that, when he's moving, and if a church is not moving, or if a person's not moving and doing what they're called to do, you know what God does? He moves on. He moves on somewhere else. That's why he moved on from Jerusalem to Antioch. I'm going to give you a history, an education of what the Bible speaks about, of people who are committed, dedicated, and on fire for the Lord, not stagnated or complacent in their lives. And that's why God moved moved this mission on to Antioch. In the earlier days, Christianity, Jerusalem, was a center of operations, but no longer. Antioch somehow became the, what I want to call Cape Canaveral, the launching pad. And Paul was there, and Barnabas was there, and they was ready. They were suited up, and they were set apart, and God spiritualized their life. He anointed them, and they set the church set them apart for foreign mission, and they were the launching pad for the church there at Antioch. Now, why would God move the headquarters, the center of opportunities, from Jerusalem to Antioch? And as through my studies and what I've found out, many historians and Bible scholars say that the church of Jerusalem became narrow, restricted in their focus. And we can see that throughout the years of the biblical teachings. And they lost their passion and their zeal for winning souls. And then, guess what happened? God moved on. He moved from Jerusalem and went to Antioch. Now, this is how God works. See, Antioch was a much smaller church than the church at Jerusalem. But God decided to use it because this church was had hearts for people. You know, a church that God has heart for people, God's going to be there and he's going to move in a mighty way. And throughout history, God has always chosen a location to be based of operation for the world evangelism. And this is where I want to illustrate what I'm talking about, Jerusalem and Antioch. Because God moved on from Antioch. See, I mentioned that Jerusalem, but they became narrow in their focus and God moved on. And then he went to Antioch for many years, but eventually God moved from Antioch when they lost their burden. Isn't that sad? When a church or when a society, when people lose their zeal and their burden for souls. And our Bible tells us that where it went next, it went to Ephesus, a tremendous, powerful church. Where is Ephesus mentioned? In Revelation chapter 2, reveals what had happened there. They lost their love, and God moved on. The church had to move on as well, hiding their persecution for many years. Next, God moved his headquarters to Camp Constantinople. And under the leadership of the Constantine, the gospel moved out of there to the cathedral, and then the base of the operation for years, but then formalism, their own self-governing body, crept in, and Christianity became dry and died there, and then God moved on. Where did it go next? The Bible says, and as we read and study in Acts, they moved on to Rome. And it was a good time there in Rome for a while. But then came the rise of their own practices, which replaced the Holy Scriptures, and rituals replaced relationships, and ceremonies and sacraments took place of salvation. And then God says, it's time to move on. Of all places we probably wouldn't think of where God would go next, he went to Germany. He moved to Germany, the church. There was a great revival. I don't know if you've ever read and studied about the great revival in Germany, but that's where God began his great work. God had his hand on that nation, and many missionaries went forth, even from the United States. But history says that skepticism crept in, rationalism, and it called a higher criticism. And soul winning and missionary work became a thing of the past. And guess what? God moved from there. Then he went to England. became the center of activity and had minor revivals for over 100 years. And they were the launching pad for the world missions. And many of you remember William Carey. He left England to places like India and Hudson Taylor for China and many others that went from there to different other places to be missionaries. But eventually, the church died there in England, and spiritual legacy, it spread, plagues and different things, and God moved on. And this is where we come in the picture. Did you know all of that? How God has moved from one place to another throughout centuries and so forth? He moved from England to guess where? America. America. Became the scene. For many, many years, we have been the center of world church and Christian nation, which has sent out tens of thousands of missionaries to other nations. And I must raise the question, as we see our nation falling spiritually, could it be that God is getting ready to move on? I hope not, and I pray not. And I hope that you would pray that God will not move on from here and go somewhere else. For as a fire of evangelism goes out, our land and our churches became worldliness, complacency, comfort. Should we expect God to remain if he does that, if we do that? And my prayer is that God will keep his hand on America and that Versailles Baptist Church can always be a part of God's plan, even if our nation drifts further away. And you know what's going to keep us from drifting further away? That we get on fire for God, that we pray, and as the scripture stated here, they pray and they fast. They got serious. When you get down to not eating physically, you're getting serious, right? And it probably do us a whole lot of good, wouldn't it? If we would pray and we would fast, God will answer our prayers even more so. The Bible says there's three kinds of people, and you probably know that. Those that make things happen, those that watch things happen, those just wonder what happened. And you don't want to be on the third end of that, do you, what happened? We want to make things happen here at Versailles Baptist Church. And same can happen at any of our churches. And as we work with our association and other organizations within the churches, our region, we can make that happen. You know, some churches get on fire for God, for missions, for outreach, and they impact the world, and they can make things happen. And I hope we'll be a part of that. I want to be the first church that makes things happen for our community and for our world. Now, there's the commanders of God. In verses 1 through 3, I read a while ago, five leaders were mentioned here of the church there at Antioch, and they prayed, and it said they fasted. And no wonder God used this church as a launching pad, because the people came together. They were excited. They were enthused about what God was going to do. He moved from Jerusalem to Antioch, and that's the first place that the church was called what? Antioch was the first place the church is mentioned in the Bible. And that's why I call it the launching pad. There must be truly spiritual leaders, leadership. And now that is a major challenge to us. It doesn't stop with the pastor. You know, we need deacons that have the same vein. We need teachers with that heart, workers who want to see God to do great things, and we will pray to see it happen. You know, we see our class grow, our classes grow. We see our children saved. And you see, Westport Camp is a mission field, isn't it, for our church or anyone that goes there, because our church, our children, our young people that go there get fed the Word of God. You heard the testimonies a while ago of those that went this past week and those that went a week ago, how it impacted their lives. We want to see more and more of that. And then the call of God. In verse 2, it was a spirit called. The Holy Spirit said, see, as unmistakably, God calls. He called Saul. He called Barnabas. See, they didn't put themselves into that ministry. They didn't make a career choice. They were God called, and I believe that God is still calling today. I sure believe it. He is. See, where God guides, He provides. Where He leads, He feeds. Where He directs, He protects. And where He sends, He expands the resources necessary for the work to be carried out, no matter where it is on this globe. That's how God works. And then we see the commission of God. In verse 3, quickly, we have the privilege of participating in one great hour sharing and helping people near and far in moments of crisis and calms because of our partnership and our generosity of our giving. Now, Paul's letter reminds us that the members of God's church, we are so closely connected that we can think of ourselves as parts of one body. Because the Bible tells us that we are a part of the family of God. We are many members, but we're only one body in Christ. See, the New Testament constantly refers to the fellows of Jesus, or followers of Jesus, not as Christian, but as a family, brothers and sisters. Now, when Jesus tells the parable of the sheep and the gate, sheep and the goats in Matthew chapter 25, he reveals to us a mystery. Some of the parables is a mystery, but it teaches us heavenly things from heaven. So God is mostly tangible, present in the world where people hunger, where they thirst, where they lack adequate clothing and shelter, and are sick or in prison. See, Christ calms the family, the members of people who suffer, and say, Christ, do you present themselves that when they feed the hungry, care for the sick, and welcome the stranger? See, you feed, you care, and Jesus says, you are welcome. In Matthew chapter 25, 35, it says, for I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you gave me something to drink. Now, our one great hour sharing provides these necessities for those in need. And in our giving, and as individual giving and as our church giving, people near us or far from us are helped because of the one great hour sharing. Now, I said all that to say this. We need to be praying. We need to be aware. We need to be in our corners, praying that God will, through us, reach people who need the gospel of Jesus Christ. See, we need to be giving, helping those in truly need. But that's not always enough. You see, we can't buy our way into full obedience. That comes through our individual commitment and dedication to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we can send all the money, everything, but if we're not fully committed, dedicate ourselves in God, then that's not enough. We have to go ourselves. We have to give. We have to care for the world's needs as well. See, Jerusalem to the uttermost parts of the earth. Listen to what Paul says in Romans 15:19. He says, from Jerusalem and around unto Iconium, I fully preach the gospel of Christ. When you read the Acts from 13 on, where he started his first missionary church, you can feel the excitement and the zeal that Paul had on his 135 mission trips. You think about it, 135. He didn't drive, he didn't fly, he didn't get on a train. He either walked or he sailed, didn't he? And the suffering and the hardships that he went through is beyond my imagination. And I know it would be yours too. But he says here, from Jerusalem and round about unto Iconium, I fully preach the gospel of Christ. You see, that is being fully committed. See, he had a heart for God. You know, you could say he was like David. Yeah, a man after God's own heart. He was a God after people. He loved God and he wanted to see people saved. And what was Paul saying? Simply that he had done everything that he was commanded to do, taking the gospel to near and far. And it's my prayer that all of us here at the Versailles Baptist Church could say the same thing. I'm taking responsibility across the street and around my community, even around the world if necessary. Now, if you get involved in mission efforts, here's what God would, this was what would happen one of these days. This is what's going to take place in your life. One of these days, when you get to heaven, you're going to be approached by someone thanking you for helping them or leading them to Christ. They may be lined up, and I'm sure the headlines will be across the gates there in heaven when you get there. So-and-so has arrived. People's going to line up to thank you. What a glorious day that will be. My brother-in-law, Wayne Starks, asked me, we were just talking about church, we was talking about different things, and he asked me, he said, how many of you think you've led to the Lord over your life? I said, I have no idea. I said, I can go back and look at our records for a camp, and after 27 years, as many as came forward and got saved, and I said, after 34 years of ministry, I have no idea. But I said, God's keeping the record, not me. I'm just trying to get them saved, escape hell. And what a glorious day that will be. See, it could be someone from the United States. Maybe they're from Germany or Russia or Costa Rica, Mexico, Hawaii, Japan. I just listed a bunch of these that might be coming up and saying, thank you for your support in missions. Thank you for leading me to Christ. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for praying for me. Thank you for being there for me. See, this is all about missions. You say, but I've never been in any of those places. Well, neither have I. But yes, you can pray, you can give, and we can care for those in need. That's God's plan for us. That's God's plan for the church. What a glorious thing it is to be a part of God's plan. You know, we could be a launching pad here to many great activities in our community, a launching pad for great missions to be carried out into various places, out of most parts of the world, we haven't never heard of. But where God shows up, when he shows up at a certain place and we're working with him, you know, he'll use us mightily. But God will go wherever God, the Spirit takes and leads the church. And boy, right here is a great place to be in God's will and God's plan, being his launching pad for great things in the future. Our Father God, we praise your holy name. We thank you that you have chosen the church to be a launching pad to meet the needs of people, and especially those that need Christ, Jesus Christ. And Lord, thank you for our missions. Thank you for our churches who support those. And thank you for Versailles Baptist Church, who supports many, many missions. Help us individually, Lord, to be focused, and help us to care, help us to give, and help us, if necessary, to go wherever you send, wherever you lead. Bless this invitation, Lord. We just pray that your Holy Spirit has fallen on good ground this morning, that all of us has received the message that was intended through your word this day. Lord, help us to be excited and energized in the movement of your Holy Spirit whenever you choose to use us and lead us and guide us and give us direction. Help us to move the cobwebs away from our hearts so that the sun can shine in and radiate through us, Lord, what you've called us to do. We praise you and we thank you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Our hymn of invitation this morning is 349.